And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. The Mill Campground in Juneau isn't for recreation. It's a place designed for people experiencing homelessness to live in tents. But when the city shuts it down in the fall, those people need to find a new place to sleep over the winter months. Claire Strumble reports for KTOO.
David has lived at the Mill Campground for a few years. We're only using his first name because of the stigma attached to homelessness. He and his girlfriend have a tarp tent set up on one of the raised wooden platforms at the campsite.
It's got its problems, but, you know, overall, I really do like it.
They have a fire pit and a burn barrel for keeping warm and drying out wet clothes. David knows the camp is closing down, but he doesn't have a plan for where to stay next.
I don't know. You know, I stayed in the woods last year.
They stayed in a tarp tent similar to the one they have set up here for 8 months. He said last winter the snow got pretty high around their tent, and it was really hard to keep things dry.
Yeah, but we survived.
That's true.
It would have been easy to do if I had a stove and water.
That's part of the reason the camp closes. The road up to the Mill Campground isn't serviced over the winter, so it's not possible to haul water and service the toilets up there. Dave Gosnell was on site Monday cleaning up leftover tarps and other belongings that people didn't take along when they moved out. He works for the city's Parks and Recreation Department, which maintains the campground.
Even camping out in the summer in Southeast Alaska is challenging with all the rain we get.
He says the city only leases the campground for the summer because the rest of the year it's too difficult to manage. Plus, he said, it's dangerous.
Certainly, in the winter, it becomes, life-threatening potentially with cold weather and snow, and, tents would collapse under snow weight potentially.
The Glory Hall, Juneau's shelter, is getting ready for some people from the camp to stay there. Here's Luke Roman, one of the managers.
Yep, people are planning on coming here. We've already had a few people come and ask about space here. And what we tell them is we're very full, but we'll do what we can.
He says there's high demand for beds and sleeping spaces in the winter months. Juneau also has a warming shelter run by a local church. Its doors don't open until the temperature starts to dip below freezing. The church is still hiring staff and will likely open when temperatures get into the mid-30s. The city will finish closing camp down this week with plans to reopen in April. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Claire Strumple.
And longtime Juneau resident James Wyckoff regularly walks to Nugget Falls. He's noticed that the face of the Mendenhall Glacier seems to be retreating faster this year than any year he's seen before, which prompted him to ask us just how far has the glacier retreated in the last 12 months. For KTOO's Curious Juneau, Chen Chen has the answer.
When James Wyckoff first saw the Mendenhall Glacier in 1974, he remembers Nugget Falls pouring on top of the glacier and then blasting out into the lake through a cave in the glacier's face. Now, the waterfall flows right into the lake, and the glacier is way behind.
Now look at that. You can just barely see the foot of the glacier sneaking out past those rocks there. Such a difference.
Halfway up the trail to the falls, he describes how things might have looked here long ago.
Could be the face of the glacier here, standing 150 foot tall at one point, dropping off all these boulders around here.
He pointed to a boulder by the trail, which he identified as an erratic, a boulder carried down by glacial ice.
And if it could talk, it would have a story to tell about what it was like coming down the valley on a glacier, or getting ripped off the side of the mountain. Oh.
Okay, so on to his burning question, how much has the glacier retreated in the last year? More than 800 feet. That's between August of last year and August of this year. A geophysicist with the Alaska Science Center used satellite imagery to figure it out. Mike Heckers is a glaciologist and outdoor guide who lives in Juneau. He says that for the last two decades, the glacier has pretty consistently retreated about 160 feet per year. But some years obviously have more melt than others, like this year. The glacier advances in the winter, but climate change brings hotter and longer summers, and that means overall retreat. Heckers thinks that pretty soon the glacier will be up and out of the lake completely, and at that point, the glacier's face won't be regularly calving into the lake. This means that the big icebergs in Mendenhall Lake will become a thing of the past. Wyckoff says that those icebergs have always felt special to him.
That's something you expect to see around Antarctica. You don't expect to see icebergs in the lake at the end of summer.
At this rate of retreat, the glacier itself won't be visible from the visitor center at all in about 30 years. And Wyckoff says that someday people in Juneau will have to reminisce about the Mendenhall Glacier, when all we have left about what it used to be like is our stories. In Juneau, I'm Chen Chen.
A pair of peaks in Chugach State Park are getting a name change following a two-year push from a Palma resident and with help from a Dena'ina elder. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
North and south, Uyankchek Peaks, as they'll be known from here on out, tower 5,000 feet above Turnagainar and are popular spots for hikers in South Central. For decades, those mountains have been called North and South Suicide, names that likely came from railroad workers who were remarking on the steepness of the slopes there. The names were codified by the U.S. Geological Survey in 1951. Soldotna Senator Peter Michicki has served on the Statewide Suicide Prevention Council, and he says he's happy to see those names go away. He says it's important to be respectful to the many Alaskans who have been impacted by suicide.
And it's painful, particularly in our state. We're number two in the U.S. We had 204 suicide fatalities in 2020. That's 27.5 per 100,000.
The Alaska legislature sent a letter to the U.S. Geological Survey in support of the name change earlier this week, but the push has largely come from Palmer resident William Pagaran, who runs a faith-based nonprofit aimed at curtailing teen suicide in Alaska. Pagaran could not be reached in time for the story, but in an online petition from 2020, he said the name change, quote, makes a huge statement to all that we value life, unquote. That same year, Pagaran led a hike up the South Peak in the name of suicide awareness. His initial proposal was denied by the Alaska Historical Commission. That was in 2021, as the commission was considering naming and renaming several other Alaska landmarks by their indigenous names. And it wasn't until this week that the Geological Survey's Board on Geographic Names gave the change the green light. Uyankchek means heaven's breath in Dena'ina. Pagaran tapped Kenaitse elder Helen Dick of Kenai for help finding a new name. Michicki credits Pagaran and Homer Republican Representative Sarah Vance for leading the charge to find a better fit.
And it's a little step. We've taken many other steps in our state, but it's a little step, and heaven's breath is a better name.
The U.S. Board on Geographic Names will also consider a recommendation from the Alaska legislature to name another mountain on Turnagain Arm after Gail Phillips, a lawmaker who represented Southern Kenai Peninsula for many years. Phillips died in 2021. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Anchorage school district leaders are recommending that six elementary schools close next year in an effort to reduce a $68 million budget gap. At a work session on Tuesday, consultant Shannon Bingham said the list is based on several factors.
We're looking at schools that are declining. We're looking at boundaries. We're looking at schools that are adjacent to each other, where a combined result would continue to be an effective education environment for those children. We're looking at transportation, pedestrian issues, and future growth.
Bingham also outlined where those students would go to school instead. He suggested that Abbott Loop be demolished and the other five buildings be repurposed. The district will hold town hall meetings at each elementary school recommended for closure starting November 2nd. District Chief Financial Officer Jim Anderson said closing all six schools could save the district between $3.5 and $4 million, or around 5% of the deficit. But he said there are other benefits to closing schools, like improving staff levels.
You know, we started the school year seven nurses short, 12 schools without cafeteria managers. Probably don't need to talk about bus drivers.
School closures are one of several ways the district could cut costs. Anderson said he and Bingham will present the board with recommendations on cuts to immersion programs and administrative positions in November. Superintendent Jarrett Bryant said final decisions on school closures won't be made by the school board until December. The board must submit a balanced budget in February. And as for the weather, it's currently 50 degrees and raining. Likely to rain more tomorrow and Friday, but there's a chance of sun on Sunday. The temperatures are hanging around in the 40s the rest of this week, and the flood watch has been canceled. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to KTOO.org. And if you want to submit a Curious Juno, you can do that there. I'm Yvonne Quimry,